I'm joined by Ian Black in Cairo. Yesterday, Ian, Ahmed Shafiq, the former Prime Minister, was attacked after he cast his vote. Does this incident give some sort of indication of the kind of convulsions that Egypt may go through if Shafiq does well in this election?
Well, it underlines the point that the outcome of this presidential race is extremely important. Shafiq is the candidate who is most closely associated with the Mubarak regime. And, of course, he was the last prime minister under Mubarak before he was forced to step down last February. Now, people are bitterly divided on this point. People who support him, and he does seem to be getting a lot of votes, although that's anecdotal at this stage, they say, look, he's a capable man with a track record of achieving things. He has a military background like Mubarak himself. He was once commander of the Egyptian Air Force. And he's the sort of person we need to restore stability to this country across a broad front. His critics, and they're very, very vociferous, say this is the worst example of somebody who is a remnant, fulul, they say in Arabic, of the old regime. And how can it be that after all the efforts and sacrifices of the revolution, Egypt could end up being ruled by somebody who was and remains so against it. And people are very, very angry on this point. And I sort of generated an argument in one polling queue in Zamalek, in the center of Cairo, precisely on this point. One elderly woman said, I'm a falul, I'm a supporter of the old regime and proud of it, and I'm voting Shafiq. Now, she didn't think that he would win. She thought, regrettably for her, that an Islamist candidate would win. Then a couple of other women standing in the queue turned on her via The Guardian and said, that's outrageous. This is somebody who did everything he can to oppose the revolution. We're only standing here today being able to vote freely because of the sacrifices that were made last year. And they would rather vote even for Islamist candidates with whom they disagree profoundly than accept Ahmed Shafiq. The same is true, but to a much lesser extent, for Ahmed Musa, the former foreign minister. He's a presidential candidate. He's been doing very well in the polls. And he has the advantage of having actually left the Egyptian government in 2001, that's a decade before the revolution, when he went to the Arab League. Many people see him similarly as a capable statesman, well known on the international stage, who could get things done, restore confidence, particularly in the economy, get foreign investment back again, and so on. But he has the advantage of great experience, more than Shafiq, and this magic distance from the Mubarak era that Shafiq doesn't have. So they're the two candidates who are, if you like, you could call them the stability candidates against a couple of Islamists and one independent.
But as you say, it's incredibly difficult to tell who's winning. But it's a distinct possibility, nevertheless, that Ahmed Shafiq and the Muslim Brotherhood's candidate, Mohamed Morsi, could make it to the runoff, which would be a kind of nightmare scenario. What would happen?
Well, we still don't know what would happen, but it is clear that if the runoff turned out to be between Shafiq from the old regime and Morsi from the Muslim Brotherhood, you would have the classic and most polarized possible confrontation that would reflect the deepest divisions in Egyptian society. I mean, it's fascinating to be here to watch this process. It's a while since I've been in Egypt. A few months, and it is a reminder watching this election campaign of how profoundly divided this country is about the best way forward for the future. It is extraordinary that after everything that happened in the revolution, there are still a lot of people, I can't quantify it, but millions of people who hark back to some kind of the sort of stability that they associate with all its problems to the Mubarak era. But then there are vast numbers of people who want to see something new and different. And I think that the likelihood is, actually, human beings being human beings, that even in such a polarized result, there'll have to be some kind of modus vivendi. There are powerful forces in this country which are going to have to live together. And I think the lesson of the year or so, 15 months since the revolution, is that some sort of cohabitation, if you like, use that word from French politics, is likely. And some people say, for example, that you could have a situation, this is pure speculation, with, let's say, for example, that you had a president, Shafiq or Moussa, very much linked to representing the old regime. Well, they might have a vice president, one of the Islamist candidates. There's going to be a complicated relationship, some of it still to be worked out, between the president and the parliament. There's no full constitution at the moment in Egypt. The president will be elected without knowing what his powers will be. The other huge question is the relationship between the triangular relationship, if you like, between the president, the parliament, and the armed forces. The armed forces are organizing this election. They're making it happen, and so far it's pretty successful. They're going to step down. They're going to step back, at least, by the 1st of July and hand over power to the civilian president, this newly elected civilian president people are voting for today. But the army will remain there. The army will remain a very powerful force in Egyptian politics. So everything has to be agreed. It's all up for grabs. And, of course, the first and vital stage in this is knowing who's going to emerge on top of the presidential race.
If it was a runoff between Shafiq and Morsi, who would the revolutionaries go for, and who would win?
A runoff between Shafiq and Morsi would force people who supported the revolution to make very difficult decisions. Some of the people I spoke to yesterday, who were revolutionaries and liberals and hostile to Islamists, said that they would rather vote for a Muslim Brotherhood president than for somebody who was such a blatant representative of the old regime. That's quite a big choice to make, but you can see the point. Why have you gone through a revolution to get rid of Hosni Mubarak, only to bring back, to replace him, by somebody who was one of his closest associates in the final years? So that would be a difficult choice, and my impression is that people who stood back and looked at the big picture and looked at the future of their country and how its many, many problems, huge problems, poverty, unemployment, illiteracy, are to be tackled. You need a president who can make things happen, and they're not prepared to give that job to somebody who is associated so much with the past that they hope has been banished forever.
Okay, Ian, we'll see. Thanks a lot.